Welcome to Recalculating Small Business. Like its award-winning book, Recalculating is dedicated to small business in America. Your hosts are Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins. Don Mazzella is the editor-in-chief of the Small Business Digest. Dan Perkins is a registered investment advisor with 43 years' experience in managing money.
Dan Perkins here, your co-host, along with Don Mazzella of Recalculating for Small Business. Our radio program is dedicated to you, helping the small business owners increase their profits. We draw our name from Recalculating, voted the best small business book of 2017 by the Independent Press. In this book, it features ways to grow your small business. Now, here's Don Mazzella.
Dan, our next guest is Jacqueline Pichot. She's president owner of Grandpa's Garden, an unusual company founded by her father, and now celebrating its 25th year. She's here to talk about the company and the next 25 years. Jacqueline, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, Jacqueline, tell us first a little bit about your company, then a little bit about your father, who was quite unusual, and the daughter that he raised to become president, and then finally your website.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I want to clarify just a few things. So my parents were inspirational. Yes, my father, grandpa, and my mother, as our name is spelled with an M for Grandpa's Garden. They were both influential in me with the business in terms of their background in the medical field and their great knowledge of herbs and the outdoor. So our product line started in 1993. My background is in physical therapy, and I started the company with another lady, Gloria Hughes, who was very, very well versed in herbs and had a great background in manufacturing. She was a wonderful seamstress, and that's the beginning of the company in 1993.
And what are your main products today?
Well, we started with about four or five different therapy products. In physical therapy, we used to use hot and cold therapy quite a bit, and so we developed a line of natural hot and cold therapy that were environmentally friendly. We did it with just the right amount of herbs and spice, and we designed them after what we used in physical therapy, so they were more user-friendly, conformed nicely to the body. And we started with five designs and a natural therapeutic massage oil, which was all herbal-based, and our famous beeswax lip balm made right here, as well as our oil. We had those items to start with, and now we have 150 different items.
Well, the reason we invited you on the program, in your area, the average lifespan of a company is 7 years, according to the Department of Commerce that we researched. Yet you're
wow.
Here 25 years. Yes.
Yes, we are. I have the stubbornness of my father, Grandpa. That's Grandpa and Grandma was the name, though it was my parents. And, you know, we have so many great people working for us that have been with us for so long and helped the company grow safely. And we have some family members involved still, my brother Michael, my sister Paula, the head of manufacturing, Susan Hatch, who started sewing with us 18 years ago and now runs manufacturing. And the line has gone from hot and cold therapy packs, which we still make 35 designs, and also we make weighted washable blankets and wraps and lap pads, and we started making those 11 years ago. Those are not heatable. Those are like what they now call the gravity blanket. Well, we started making those long ago, and we are so medical, so we have many companies that do order from us all over the world. We ship to France, England. We also work with Dubai. We've had stores in Dubai. So we are international as well as L.L. Bean. We've been on QVC quite a bit in the past. And we are about 85 to 90% medical now.
And your website?
And our website is grandpasgarden.com, G-R-A-M-P-A-S-garden.com. We have probably 20,000 followers just in our retail market alone.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that we also have about close to 500 stores and catalogs.
You don't own, but stores that your products are in.
That's correct.
Huh.
From Whole Food to L.L. Bean, yep. And we have many different also gift shops that carry us, as well as health food stores, Whole Food. So we've really been able to diversify. The product is such that we have many different areas that the product works well for.
Well, with that as a start, Dan, it's all yours.
Thank you. Jacqueline, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. This is very exciting for Grandpa's Garden.
Yes. Let me ask you a question. So do you have two distribution models, your website and then through bricks and mortar stores?
That's correct. Yes, we have both. The stores. We actually do have a small store here where we manufacture, as well as one now that's opening in Brunswick, Maine. And then we also sell through vendors such as L.L. Bean, Whole Foods,
right,
and gift stores.
So did you start out 25? Well, you couldn't have started out 25 years ago as an e-commerce company because e-commerce wasn't around 25 years ago.
Right. That's right.
So you were selling in bricks and mortar stores 25 years ago.
Correct. We started out at some artisan shows locally, and for the first, I would say, two or three years, it was very heavy in that market of local shows, Vermont, Maine. We even drove to Texas for some of our shows. And then we went to the wholesale shows, and I would always say to the Grandpa's Garden employees here, I'd say, oh, L.L. Bean's on the phone. And sure enough, 5 years later, about in our history of Grandpa's Garden, about 5 years later, we had L.L. Bean. And it was just an exciting moment because we were such a small company at that time. And we were able to expand into that gift market. And as I said, the whole product line grew. We always had essential oils. We get our essential oils from all over the world. This is another big part of our line. And we have been marketing our oils, our therapy creams, and our botanical line as much as our hot and cold therapy line and our weighted washable line. So it is an extensive line. We used to be in the Toms of Maine, which is Maine-based, their store. Grandpa's Garden was in their store years back. So it's an exciting line, and I have just the most amazing people working for us that have been with us for so many years.
So what was the decision-making process? As we are a show that goes specifically towards small business people,
yes,
and people who are looking to grow and expand their business, at what point in time did somebody within your company, you or somebody else, say, this internet thing might work, we should get involved?
Okay. So we probably did that about, I would say, 7 years or 8 years into the business. And we started out with a smaller website. That just was, it just grew just like our garden here. It just, it was kind of the snowball effect. And the more shows we did and the more exposure we had, we were Today's Special Value in 2004 on QVC. And that was a very, very big account for us for such a small company in 2004. And because of that exposure, our website grew heavily. And from there, we've done more and more social media.
So if you look at your business mix in terms of distribution, bricks and mortar versus the internet, where are you doing the bulk of your business?
You know, I would say that they're kind of equal at this point, but more I would say with the brick and mortar, but it's catching up quickly. I believe because of all the different social medias going now, there has been an increase in the single buyer, the retail side. But our wholesale is very large, especially in the medical field, with special needs, hospice, distribution with Medline. We have some larger accounts in France for children that need the weighted washables. England is another big area for us. And so there is a little bit of equality in both right now, although if I had to say one, it would be the brick and mortar.
And so is that because of the medical pieces that you're selling through distribution, their sheer volume?
So we do have one large distribution channel, and that is mainly for the hospice. So, but then on the other hand, we have large catalogs that carry our product and have been with us for many, many years, from Therapy Shop to Southpaw, some great, great companies that have stayed right with Grandpa's Garden. They've always been very happy with our quality. I think that's been our most important part, and we also have great customer service.
So are you basically a packager in the sense that you buy the essential oils already prepackaged, or do you buy the essential oils, for example, in bulk and then downsize the packaging in your own facility? How do you assemble and distribute?
So this is correct. We do buy in large quantities from all over the world. For instance, our lavender comes from France. We are very concerned with our quality of the oil, so we have a very good connection with different companies that we found very important to deliver the highest quality. So we do first press, food grade, and then we go ahead and put them in, bottle them, and market them. We now have, I believe it's 47 different essential oils. We do blends and sprays as well.
So when you look at your business mix, it sounds to me as if that there are some natural significant divisions. You've got the medical, you mentioned hospice as a major business. Then you've got your, perhaps for a lack of a better description, your consumer retail side of your business. So you've got a diverse business with clearly distinct separate segments. Would that be a fair characterization?
Correct. And we're also heavy into, the spas and massage therapy. I've done much work with massage therapists, physical therapists, occupational therapists, and they're also brick-and-mortar wholesalers for us as well.
Sure, in their spas. Like, did you work with Massage Envy?
We don't have one Massage Envy, but we have hundreds of other massage therapists that were in different massage schools, our products, Downward Massage. There's been quite a few different, like Massage Magazine. We've worked with them for about 20 years. That's been a very big venue for us. Chiropractors is always loving our products, physical therapist, and then the OTs are the ones that use the weighted washables quite a bit. And that's how that line morphed. I think we might have been the first weighted washable blanket company in the United States.
So the for our audience, OT is occupational therapy?
Correct.
Okay. So would you say that the opportunities are still about equal in both distributions, do you see over the next 3 to 5 years something breaking away, whether it's hospice or some other part of your company showing much more momentum than another part?
I believe, you know, it's funny. It's our company has stabilized itself in so many different areas that I think they're all going to be growing in all those different areas. If I had to say which way it's going, you know, the service industry, I believe, is such a crucial area right now for commerce in the United States anyway. Service stores like a spa or a massage clinic. We're also in health food stores, and those are always growing and stable. So I really do see us staying with the service industry, working with the therapists in the medical field. We are in many, many hospitals, which I failed to mention. Boston Children's gave our product the seal of approval, and they're the largest children's hospital in the world. And so the reason I'm bringing them up right now is that is a very big area for us because we're working a lot with the therapist in the hospital, and they're ordering them. We do a special weighted washable blanket. One of our lines has a laminate cotton. And you say, well, why would a laminate cotton be good on a weighted blanket? Well, the hospitals love that because they can wash it so easily in between children. They can just wipe it down. With a weighted washable blanket, a lot of times you have to put it in the washing machine. But because of our special fabric, they are so grateful for that because they can use it between, like, each therapist. If the child's going to have needing some comfort before, let's say, a procedure or, you know, an MRI or something like that, they can wear the weighted washable blanket and they can clean it quickly. So that's a big market for us as well. I think it's an important market, and it's so useful for the therapists and doctors.
I will plead guilty that I don't know what a weighted washable blanket is. Could you educate me?
Oh, absolutely. So they are blankets. Let's say we'll talk about, you know, weight. Let's say the 10-pound blanket that we make, it is filled with either our glass beads or our poly pellets, and these give it weight. So when you put these blankets on, it's like when you go to the dentist and they put that big vest on you and it feels heavy.
Right.
Well, these blankets and wraps and lap pads, they give that same kind of feeling. And when put on people that have maybe higher anxiety or they're having sensory issues, this can help increase their relaxation. And how that happens is it helps induce serotonin levels in the brain. There's a direct effect, and the therapist can actually work with the patient. Or if they're agitated in hospice, you put the blanket on, and it's just a wonderful remedy to calm. You don't have to use as much medicine, and you can, you know, apply applications of testing that you have to do with the children, or maybe they have a vest on and the therapist is working on some modalities or working with a child to read the book, they will calm down. School systems use these. We have many schools ordering these. And just the average person that wants some weight on their bed, like a lot of people, like with restless leg syndrome, anyone with agitation or, you know, menopause issues, some people really respond to the weight.
Well, let me move on. How many people do you, let's start it this way. Do you have one facility in Maine or do you have multiple facilities?
Well, we have a store in Brunswick that we're working on now. We had a store in Portland, Maine. We have a store with us where we manufacture. We have our stitchers are here in-house. We also have up to 30 subcontract sewers that work from the home. And we have one more facility for manufacturing for Grandpa's Garden within the state of Maine.
So within all your facilities, regardless of where they are, how many people do you employ?
Okay, so in-house we have 18 people. That is right here where I'm speaking to you, here at 62 Park Drive in Topsom. And then my home stitchers, they're from their homes, and that's about 30. And we have one more facility for manufacturing, and I would say that's about 15 people.
Okay.
And that's right here.
And right now, what kind of annual sales are you doing?
Right now, we're close to just over annual sales. I don't know. You know, it varies. Right now, we're on a huge growth rate of about 60 to 70% for the last 4 years, which is very large growth for us. And we're doing, you know, between 2 and 3.
Okay. And so with that kind of growth rate, 60 to 70% a year, especially at a time when the economy was growing less than 2,
yes.
Have you had capacity problems of keeping up with demand?
Yes. At times we have had to, hold back on our manufacturing just because of the demand for the stitching that we had to do, and then for product development, developing so many new products within the different lines, which was at times, very exciting and very challenging. But we have been able to, with our experience of 25 years and a lot of great people working here that know the line well and are willing to wear many hats, we've been able to keep up with that challenge. Though we've had to pull back sometimes on, our numbers could have been bigger had we had more manufacturing at times. But right now we're very stable, very stable.
So what do you think your, I'll leave that for a moment. Just curious, how do you promote and how do people find you? How do you reach out to people I know you've got in retail stores, but people who don't happen to have a Whole Foods around or an L.L. Bean, how do you reach out to those people that are not close to a brick-and-mortar store?
So I think with our website, our newsletter, our Facebook, our Instagram, and we do the shows. We always are doing from medical shows to Expo East, which is the most close natural product show for us. We do massage therapy, national massage therapy shows, and also our recent spa show in New York City.
Mm-hmm. And so my last question, then I'll turn it over to Don. So the margins are dramatically different between internet sales and institutional or brick and mortar sales because you have to allow them to make a profit. So the e-commerce may be equal or lower sales, but from a profitability standpoint, they could be much more profitable than the institutional sales. Is that fair statement?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. At the end of the show, before we let you go, we want to ask you a question or two, and then
sure.
But let me turn it back to Don. Let me turn it back to Don. Don?
Thank you so much.
Jacqueline, it's been fascinating listening, but I'm curious, what's your background? How did you how did you come to found the company, and are you still are you still partners? What are some of your background?
Okay, I was a physical therapy, licensed physical therapy assistant for about 12 years. And I'm still licensed, and I worked in everything from orthopedics to pediatrics, and I worked in also main pain team within New England Rehab. So I had an extensive background in my trade, as well as I had gone back to school to study horticulture and natural therapies. I have a high interest in that, and at the time that we started the business, I was looking for a natural alternative to a hot and cold pack because in physical therapy in the day, we had to throw out in a toxic waste bin if our hot pack opened up because it was chemical. So I wanted something natural, an alternative for natural therapy. I wanted to do healthy oils and essential oils. I had such a passion. The partner in business that joined me was Gloria. We only met twice. She had a great background in stitching and was a wonderful crafter, really, but she had extreme talent and could make anything that we designed very quickly. So she was running that part. I was more running the medical side of it and development. She also had a background in herbs as well. She had some license with that as well. So between the two of us, that's how it happened. And we also had many opportunities to test the product because we started out at local artisan shows and whatnot. And that's where our testing, I would also bring it to work at physical therapy to test out some products at the time.
So that's how you started. Are you still partners?
Actually, Gloria left the company at about our 12th year, I would say. She wanted to do more homesteading. She was very much, did not want to get big. and so her daughter works with us, though. And we are family, partially family owned. My sister's partner, my brother has also, Michael. So we're my head of one of the people that works in manufacturing who's been with us for a long time is my first cousin. So it is family owned as well.
Really interesting. Your website again?
Website is grampasgarden.com. It's grampasgarden.com. That's with an M for my mom. We also have Weighted Comfort Solutions. So I actually have two websites. Weightedcomfortsolutions.com is more of the weighted washable and essential oils for helping calm. A lot of our therapists buy our essential oils to help the children that they work with for calming. And also sometimes the child needs a little invigorating, so they'll do some of our peppermint sprays.
Jacqueline Pinard, thank you. Say it again.
It's grampasgarden.com, Made Maine. Thank you for having us. We appreciate it so much.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit cost. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
Dan Perkins here from Recalculating.biz. I want to tell you about Bob Bethel. Bob's new book is Strengthen Your Business, Fail-Proof Strategies for Small Business. His suggestions are easy to understand and very helpful. Bob Bethel's book, Strengthen Your Business, can be found at Amazon.com or can be ordered at your local bookstore. Dan Perkins with your featured book.
Dan, Andrea Maddow is the founder of Lab 141, a company with a unique niche that our listeners will be particularly interested in. I know you will be, too, as we delve into it. Andrea, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here today.
Well, believe me, I think the honor is going to be all ours over the next couple of years when people realize we were one of the first to learn about you and broadcast. Andrea, you have a unique business that I'd like you to explain for our audience and also tell us your website.
Well, again, thanks for having me on. Let's start kind of at the very beginning. One of the challenges is that a couple of years ago, I went to a shopping mall and I wanted to buy a nice dress with my Christmas bonus. And I wanted something a little fancy, one of the big designer names. And I went from store to store to store, and I couldn't find anything to fit my perfect imperfections because I'm a little short and a little chubby. But my money is just as green as everyone else's. And none of these stores could sell me a dress. And this made me really angry and frustrated because they're in the business of selling things, especially at the luxury end. So I turned to my partner, who's a mechanical and software engineer, and said, "This is ridiculous. Why are we still making clothes the way they did 100 years ago when there's all kinds of new technology? I mean, they should be able to scan my body, redimension a pattern, and cut it and make it and sew it right here in America quickly enough to fit me." And he said, "That's exactly how it should be done, and that's kind of the basis of our company. We do that for luxury designers. We make it for the customer's exact body right here in America in 48 hours. It's the future of manufacturing."
Well, that's a short version, and I'm going to And your website to start?
My website is www.lab141.com, because the only way it really fits you if it's one pattern for one person. So that's the lab part.
Well, that's really interesting.
It's also a bit of a throwback to my partner's family. Philip, who is a co-founder and CTO of Lab 141, he's the third generation of patent holders in his family. So not only is it one pattern for one person, his grandfather got a patent in 1919 to slow down airplanes, patent 141-3749, because his great-uncle was a World War I fighter pilot. So that tradition of innovation is in three generations of his side of the family.
Boy, you got the elevator pitch down to a science.
I love what I'm doing. I do. I finally found my purpose in life, and it's making sure that everybody feels included in the whole fashion cycle.
It comes through in your voice. I'm going to turn it over to Dan. Now, Dan, fire away.
So, Andrea, the idea that the high-end designers are not designing for you is not a new complaint. Most of the high-end designers deal dress sticks, which have no curves and are pretty much straight, that the American woman is totally different than who especially the European designers design for. So I'm fascinated of the concept of an individual pattern. So in order for you to scan, let's take your physique, are you going to have to put in a device in the store that's going to physically scan you, and then those scanned measurements along with fabric selection and style will then be sent electronically to some place in the vast USA, and they're going to be sewn in the next 2 or 3 days and back in the store within five. Is that pretty much the concept?
That's pretty much it, with, of course, a couple of tiny tweaks. Right now, luxury, these are some crazy stats, so I'm going to be really slow about it. 0.1% of luxury clothes are available to women like me. So 67% of all American women are plus size, 50% are petite, and 6% are tall. But since luxury clothes are considered size 10 or higher, we're talking about roughly 92% of all American women don't fit into these luxury clothes. So those numbers can be a little, depending how you slice it, the percentages change. But the bottom line is traditional size-based clothing doesn't really fit a lot of people, including me. So when I talk about my frustration, it is the vast majority of women. I mean, even somebody with money like Oprah can't really walk in and buy something off the rack from some of these luxury designers. So fundamentally, sizes are flawed. And they made sense 100 years ago when people were, let's say, a little smaller than we are right now. But the larger you get, whether it's in height or curves, the more variance there is. And so the way things are today made sense before. But nowadays, we have technology. So to your point about the scanners, our technology, we can take measurements from multiple different ways. You can even just use an old-fashioned measuring tape, and we can get the measurements that way. We also have a scan app where you can use technology to measure yourself. And we also have a garment that you put on that we're working in development with a couple of universities to be able to put it on, and it measures you. We called her tentatively Fitima with an I, so fit. And she has embedded electronics and some gyroscopes and all kinds of things so that she measures you. But if you're a guy, it's Fitimo, so it's a guy that measures you. That's what we're calling the garment. So for right now, we are pre-launch. We're in development, but make no mistake, this is the way things are going. And we also want to bring back those high-quality jobs to America. And that includes some of the high-quality sewing and some of the other elements, because if you use automation for the low-skill things, then what remains are high-skill jobs.
But Andrea, coming back to your premise, if a woman goes into a high-end store and allows somebody to take, quote, her measurements, we've added a human factor. However, if I use a laser, a computer laser, to scan on a 360-degree basis the measurements of a woman or a man, I'm going to get a much more accurate detail of all of those individual shapes and curves, you know, that using a tape measure to measure a woman at the hips and the waist won't give you the slope of the curve in the waist to the hips, whereas a laser scan would pick out the subtleties of those curves and probably give you a much better garment, a better fitting garment than trying to convert this typical tape measure measurement. So my question is, if the scan is the most accurate, would you be talking about putting scanning machines in high-end stores?
So the thing about making clothes is that it's a combination of art and science. So yes, you're absolutely right. A scanner or a scan app of some sort can measure a body down to the micron, but humans aren't avatars of ourselves. And that's what ends up happening. A lot of hocus pocus around scanning and then redimensioning on an avatar, and so you can see yourself in a magic mirror, it's all really lovely. But people want to wear clothes the way they want to wear clothes. So absolutely, I can scan you using an app down to the micron. But clothes don't need to be that accurate because I'm not fitting a garment onto an avatar of you. So we think that it's a combination of the art and science to measure and to also make, because I know that I like my clothes to fit a little bit looser. So I don't want some person or some engineer to say, well, this is the algorithm on how it's supposed to fit your body. Well, too bad. I want it to fit me the way I want it to fit me. So you're getting some of those measurements even from a measuring tape or the scan app or from the fit garment. But ultimately, I want to tell you how it's supposed to fit me. When I lift my heavy purse or if I lift a child, I want my clothes to fit me the way I do and not based on your algorithm or your science. But let me just step back for just a quick moment. The way we are planning to implement this is a combination of the designers. Designers already have lots of products in their repertoire. So for a season, you'll have, I don't know, 50 units, dresses, skirts, pants. We think that rather than having absolutely everything available to make to measure, that's not the future of manufacturing. It's about the designers picking a couple of the styles that are most popular that they will then make available to their customers, to their existing customers or new customers who never had the chance to wear them. And then we, Lab 141, would implement the manufacturing of a couple of those styles. And the easiest way for it to work for everyone is to have a little trunk show. So if you like Designer X and Designer X decided to implement our process, you would be invited to a private event. We would make available 50 of that particular style, but it's made for your exact body. So it's not as though you get to pick the fabric and the fit and all the rest of it. No. If you want Designer X, then Designer X, that particular garment, will be made to fit you. So very little choice, but perfect fit. And that's the biggest difference.
So what do you think will happen to the price of clothing with your process?
Well, it will probably cost a little bit more. It's up to the designer to select the final cost to the customer. But we believe that it would have to be a little bit more because no one would buy off the rack if you could buy the exact same thing that's custom made for you. So we are anticipating a small premium for the made to measure. For consumers, it means that you don't then have to buy something and then shorten or adjust it. But again, let me take a tiny step back. Often if I ask a man, hey, who are you wearing? A lot of times, men will say, well, I don't know, it just fits me, or my wife bought it for me. But if you ask a woman, often she'll say, oh, I know exactly who I'm wearing. It doesn't really fit, but I'm wearing brand X on my shirt or my pants or my shoes. So women really do care about the brand, probably more so than many men. So that's why we're starting at the luxury end of the women's market, because that's where the real opportunity is. So we suspect it'll be probably anywhere from 5 to 7% premium, or 10%. It really is up to the designer to have this made-to-measure version of their style.
So you're going to take a particular designer, mm-hmm. and they're going to give you X numbers of, or lease to you, whatever they're going to do, X numbers of their designs, which you then will custom make one off at a time for one of their customers.
Exactly, but at scale. And that's really the biggest difference. So I'm going to use a specific example. This is not a customer that we're working with, but somebody I would wish to have. Diane von Furstenberg is very famous for her wrap dress. And it's been the exact same style, well, for the most part, since the early 70s. I love that dress. It's really the uniform of a working woman for the last 40 years. But it doesn't fit me. Because, again, I'm too petite and too curvy. So I'm a plus petite, and I have a short waist. I'm ampere waist is what they call it. So I would love to have Diane work with us, and we would be able to make a made-to-measure version of her style, either in the same fabric that she's using for the season, or in a special one for the special group of women who are or special group of people. Let me just say, our tech doesn't care if you're a man, woman, or you know, in between. It's going to be measuring you and then making it to fit you. So someone like Diane von Furstenberg's classic dress is a great example of having that made exactly for you. It is typically, I think, $368 at DVF.com. or at Barney's, and we assume that, I think it's at Saks. Something like that would be a few dollars more to have it made for you.
And why would she want to do business with you?
Well, because we are an American company and we respect all patents and all IP from intellectual property from any of our customers. And why?
Right.
Because right now, these brands are missing out on millions and millions of women who just can't fit in their clothes. And rather than create a plus version and a petite version and a plus petite short version, I mean, you see where I'm going with this. Rather than have an infinite number of inventory, let's just have it made for you. And that cuts out all of that inventory risk. I mean, ultimately, we think this is how manufacturing is going to go in the future. All of it, because inventory is a big problem for large retailers. Guessing
right.
12 months ahead what the sizes are going to be or what the styles are going to be or what's going to be popular, is it going to be a cold winter? So much risk. And with us, we're making it so fast after it's already sold. It just makes more sense.
So where are you making it? Where are you making it in the country so fast?
So we are, like I said, in development. We're about to launch probably in September with our first customer. We are making it in Syracuse, New York right now, which is upstate and part of the old manufacturing belt of upstate New York. My partner is based there, and there are a lot of companies and universities and organizations that are working with us to bring back some of that high-quality advanced manufacturing to America. New York State in particular is really supporting advanced manufacturing, and that's what we are.
So when you look at it from the standpoint of making these custom dresses, are you going to be working with, as your example, Diane Furstenberg, or are you going to be working with Neiman Marcus?
Well, that's a really good question. We have identified designers, retailers, and brands as the real trio that would be perfect to implement this alternative manufacturing process. So right now we are still kind of finishing up our tech, but we're also starting to talk to these customers, to these large brands, designers, and retailers, because they all know that business as usual isn't working. I mean, at the luxury end of the market, you will keep hearing terms like, buy now, see now, buy now, which is how the runway shows are look like they're going to be trending. It used to be that you could put out a collection in the spring for the fall or for the fall for the spring, but those six-month timeframes are just not working. Brand after brand is moving to faster iteration cycles, and our manufacturing process supports that. So someone like a Barney's, for example, would be perfect to implement it because they already have some of those relationships with the designers. So they could have a small curated collection of styles that is available, made to measure. So someone like me who walked into Barney's, Bergdorf's, or Bendel's, I am based in New York after all, they don't have anything for me. In all of their clothing pieces, in three different high-end stores, there's pretty much nothing because it just doesn't exist. So we think they would be perfect to want to jump on board this access to new customers and also better profitability and margins. So consumers are happy because they now have access to these lovely clothes that are made out of high-quality fabrics in America. And the brands or the retailers have they have better margins. So it really is a win-win.
So if you go to Bergdorf, I've lived outside of New York City for 37 years, and Don lives outside of New York City for a century. we're very familiar with the brands that stores you're talking about. But are you not disrupting the business model? Because if one or two of the brands that are in Bergdorf decide they want to do what you're doing. With you, do they not risk the possibility of alienating some of the other brands that they have because they're not doing it?
So the bottom line is this train has already left the station. Business as usual is not working. These designers are having to guess at their customers, and it's failing. That's why someone like a Moncler last month declared that they're doing monthly iteration cycles. So there's two real answers. It's not working. And secondly, it only takes that first designer to work with us where the rest of them we think are going to be dominoes that are going to have to start adopting this model because it's the future of manufacturing. Everything is speeding up. And most of these brands don't manufacture for themselves. They place really large orders with overseas factories that are not particularly efficient and sometimes not even ethical. So our solution for all of this, our advanced manufacturing, solves a lot of those problems. And we believe that designers don't want to have to guess at inventory. They would love to design, sell, and then have us make it, as opposed to design it, make it, and then hope that they can sell it.
Yeah. Did you see the new Daniel Day-Lewis movie?
The Phantom Thread. No, I haven't had a chance to yet.
I was thinking, as we were talking, I was thinking about him being a dress designer in London and making all the custom dresses. What about the possibility? You know, I understand that you are concerned about the, quote, high-end dresses and stuff like that. But is there a business model that this same process could work in casual clothes? Because do I have different sets of challenges for women in fitting into casual clothes than I do for women fitting into dress wear?
So let me stop you right there and say our technology absolutely works for men, women, and even potentially for pets. But we are laser focused on proving that it works. And the biggest opportunity for disruption is with the luxury women's market to begin with. So for men, this can absolutely be implemented. But there are a couple of companies that have a similar model, but not the same. We do it for the designers. We do not have our own brand. So a couple of the menswear companies like Proper Cloth or M. Taylor, a man can get scanned, pick the type of shirt he wants, and it gets made for them. That's not where we are in the marketplace. These large luxury brands are not very technologically savvy, and we're able to provide all of that instantly for them because we've spent all the time, money, effort, patents to redevelop the supply chain and logistics for these luxury brands. So at the luxury end, that's where the biggest margins are and it's the biggest opportunity for disruption to begin with. But secondarily, we are also future-proofing ourselves, and we're currently working with a couple of universities, including Cornell University, their fiber science division, to come up with an alternative to traditional sewing. And we think that is truly the future of manufacturing, is to eliminate as many of those low-skilled jobs, including the sewing, which is done right now overseas, sometimes in very questionable conditions. So
yeah.
the advanced fusion technology that we're working on is where we can now start to implement at the middle to the lower end of the market. So that's
yeah.
the everybody solution. And we're working on that too.
Okay. Don, you got anything you want to add? We're almost out of time. Well, he's not there. Okay. let me go one step further. Is a woman readily willing to expose herself to the process of being measured?
Well, you get to keep your clothes on. So, yes. I mean, there are websites like ModCloth where you'll see women posting their exact measurements and their themselves in clothing. So, yes, if it means that you get to have something for yourself, it's all very discreet. I mean, you're wearing a pair of tights or a tight T-shirt. So
okay.
So there's no modesty factor that's really an issue. I mean, you can get down to your skivvies and your bra, but one of the biggest challenges is that most women don't even wear the right bra. So we kind of insist that you get the right bra before you come in and get fitted. Make yourself a priority. Feel special when something's made for you.
Okay. I'm going to throw it back to Don. We're out of time. Don?
Okay, Andrea, didn't I tell you Dan will be fascinating? Dan?
I'm here.
Anyway, we'll take that. Andrea, your website again and how people can reach you?
So right now it's www.lab1141.com. So we ask consumers to sign in and get on the short list. So when we start having these private trunk show launches, be on that short list. And for luxury designers, come to the site as well. Sign up and be one of the first ones to implement our advanced manufacturing for your brand.
Well, thank you so much. It's really been fascinating.
Well, thanks for having me. I love what I do, and I think that this is the future, and we're part of it, and you had us on first, so thank you.
Thank
well,
you.
Well, your voice certainly betrays that as well.
Well, I'm an old soul. Let's just leave it at that.
We have been listening to Andrea Maho. She is the founder of Lab 141. A link to her website will be up tonight on recalculating.biz. Where you can hear this and every other program that Dan and I have done in the past and in the future.
Recalculating Small Business. Please go to our website, recalculating.biz, to contact us, to listen to past shows, and see special offers. If you grow, we grow.
Tell me, Dan, tell me about your latest book.
My current book that's coming out, I should say, is Why Can't Grammy Remember Me? And it's really the first book written for children between the ages of 9 and 12 and their families dealing with dementia. Dementia is a growing problem with the elderly in the United States and around the world. And we are not very well informed about what's going on, what's happening. So I wrote this book in the form of a mystery. And I have two little girls, 9 and 12, who have the magical power to be able to seem to be able to find things that are lost. And so they go to their dads and moms and they say, you know, we work all over the neighborhood helping people find things, and we seem to find things. And their dad says, yes, you have a magical talent to do that. And they said, we'd like to start a business to see if we can help other people. So they decided to start a business. The two girls' name are Hudson and Charlotte. And they start H&C's Lost and Found. If you've lost it, we find it. And so they build a business, and they convince the dads to build them an office and a treehouse in the backyard. And
They get busy making posters and flyers trying to get customers, and their dads take them downtown, and they put them in the windows and on the telephone poles and light poles, and they go home, and first week goes by, and nobody comes. And the second week and third week, and nobody comes. They're really, really dejected. And the fourth week comes, and there's a knock at the door. And they walk over and open the door, and there's a young man standing there with one of their flyers in his hands. And he says to them, my dad says the reason why my Grammy can't remember me is because she's lost her memory. And your flyer says you find things that are lost. Can you find my Grammy's memory? Well, they don't know anything about memory. So they take his name and they go see their dads to see what can happen. And the story evolves into how they learn about what dementia is and what's going on in the body when somebody has dementia. And then they decide, while they can't find their customer's memory, they can help him build the tools to retain her in his memory. And so at the end of the book, there are about 10 to 12, 13 things that families can do together to work on to preserve the memory of Grandma and Grandpa so the generations can know who these people were. And that's the story.
What a great book. When will it be available, and how can people get it?
Well, it'll be available on Amazon.com. A lot of people who have read it, who've had moms and dads that have been stricken with Alzheimer's or dementia, tell me that they really now begin to understand what's happening in Grandma's brain. And we took a different approach. Rather than do the typical brain cross-section, I work with the artist, and we design highways in the brain. And there's the brain of one of the little girls and the brain of Grammy. They both have highways, roads, but the girl's brain, everything is green and go. Grammy's brain is full of no left turns, do not enter, stop, no right turns. So all of the messages that need to come from our brain get screwed up, and we can't function. Great illustrations, though. Wonderful illustrations.
Well, say goodbye, Dan.
All right.
Time for us to go.
Thank you for joining us. And by the way, if you didn't hear all of today's show, you can go to recalculating.biz, and you can pick up this show and past shows to expand your knowledge as becoming more successful entrepreneurs. Thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Dan Perkins here from Recalculating.biz with your small business tip of the day. Have you ever worked really hard to land an order only to find out that you lost it? There are times where we really want an order from a prospective client, and then you find out after all your hard work, the order went to a competitor. We learn wisdom from our failures much more than from our successes. It still hurts to lose the order, but losing an order teaches us a great deal about what kind of business person we really are. So here's your recalculating.biz small business tip of the day. When you find out that you lost the order, don't send an email. Send a letter to the head of the business unit that placed the order. Tell that person that you are disappointed that you didn't get the order, but that you'll work even harder to get the next one. Ask him to tell you what you can do so the next time the order's in play, you can win it. This has been Dan Perkins with your recalculating.biz small business tip of the day.
Well, Dan, what do you think about today's guests?
I thought they were terrific. We had great diversity. We had some really good ideas on small business and what they can do with credit and how they can save money with the gentleman from Spent. So I think there was a lot of good stuff. Again, continuing the idea that we are on the air to try and help small businesses grow their businesses and start them. And again, we had content today that dealt with both. And as in the past, if you didn't get all of this show, you can go to our website, recalculating.biz, and look at past shows and expand your education, how you can be better at what you're doing in a small business.
Agreed. Great show, Dan.
Thank you for joining us on Recalculating. We hope the information you received on today's episode was helpful to you in starting and growing your business. Please go to our website, recalculating.biz, to contact us, to listen to past shows, and see special offers. Until next time, remember, if you grow, we grow. Join us next week for more helpful ideas to make your business a great success. Recalculating, a program designed to help you be successful.